Welcome everyone out tonight to our special work session with the planning and zoning. And we'll start off tonight with a roll call.
Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
I'm not sure what the word is. Rocky.
Here.
And I'm Sam.
Here.
He said he wasn't gonna be here.
Yeah, he said he wasn't gonna be here.
He's out of town or something.
Did you get one of these? No, we can share it.
All right. Discussion on updating city ordinances regarding new development. Is what we're talking about tonight, because we've had lots of issues come up lately. And is zoning?
Yes.
I know there was one again today.
Yes. There was a couple of...
It'd be nice if we just could maybe get around the table, everybody around the table.
The stuff trip. On the horse.
Bring. Hold your chair up. I would say bring chairs up here. I think it feels a little way too formal for...
Why? Oh, we could put them tables up there too.
Let's see who you is. We like rearranging rooms.
Yeah, that looks good.
You want to put both of them up there?
Yeah.
This is yours, Mike.
Yeah, there's no empty seat here.
That way they can talk into the mic.
Come on, Maria. You can't be too far back.
This is as far as I can go.
Yeah, come on up here. You want to come in here?
If you can hear that, you can sit on it. It's up to you.
You got a meeting tonight?
Or
you had a meeting? What time is your meeting?
Somebody can come up here and sit at Russ's place, because we know he's not coming.
So you're gonna be late for one of them?
I usually run late anyway, so probably not.
So I know this all started a few weeks ago, probably a month ago, when we looked at rezoning or changing their zoning on Fifth West.
Yes.
It's probably where it first originally started.
Led made a proposal.
Well, it really started with McClellan's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their flag lot situation, and then how to get not around it, how to...
Well, McClellan's right here.
They're on First South and Fifth West.
So they're down that lane, the ways?
Yeah, they have a super long lot, and they had that whole thing, their lot belonged to something, but they created a flag lot. Their existing home. We were brainstorming about things with them and...
Right, they have it on the market, but I think the state took care of that issue.
So are they in the city?
They can build something, but it's an accessory now. They can have an accessory.
But not a lot split.
But no, a lot split, yeah.
And they can't rent.
They can rent it, but they have to stay in their house.
That's too small.
To family, right? Or to anybody.
To anybody, but they have to stay in their house.
No, it looks like they're difficult.
Sure.
No, it looks like, aren't they in the county?
No.
No.
The house is in the city.
So are they in this RM, is that where they're at, or I'm not?
They're right on the...
Oh, no, sorry, I'm looking too far.
Line goes down there, Justin.
That white line there?
Yep.
They're right at the end, right there.
I was looking too far north, Kevin. It's down here.
You can kind of see the house right there under that white line.
Oh, okay. The house still looks like it's outside according to this map, but...
That's right, I was looking at the wrong house too. I was looking at Lydiard's.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
By the way, the quality of this map is, it's hard to read.
It's pretty poor. We probably should have them...
And then there was that section we had talked...
The RN section, yeah.
Yes, the RN. putting that as RA.
Yeah.
So it just kind of conforms.
But isn't Fifth West commercial?
It is right now.
Commercial manufacturing. Oh, that's the purple.
Yeah. But we were going to start from where Monk's or even your property and suggest that we don't have commercial any farther other than up to Main Street, because that is mostly residential.
And I think that's what we talked about in the council when we had questions.
Right.
Because we wasn't sure if it was going all, if you wanted to eliminate, I think it wasn't only further south. We talked about doing.
So you're in a commercial and then put them.
Yeah.
The line of draw for the commercial versus.
There's one thing that I thought about after the meeting, because they had it worked out where we could still be commercial, but, you know, we got a lot of funds for that because it was leading to the industrial park and it was commercial, and I mean, that's why the street's built like it is. It's wider, and so I'm a little hesitant to say, I mean, I think they ought to be able to have agriculture there too, but you almost hope that it can stay commercial for those reasons that I've just mentioned. Because it is a wider street. It is an access street, and it gets a lot of traffic.
It's a through street.
It's a major through street.
But the land use there is not commercial.
Well, it is in parts.
Small.
Yeah.
It is to First South.
To First South is, and then.
And then to Main.
Right.
Main Street.
Right.
It's all residential.
The hard part is all the people that do have animals. If you don't rezone it, then you can't enforce your current other ones that are in place either, though. Because now you're going against what your current code is and allow them to do that in a commercial.
It's almost like in that.
It's almost a kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah. It's almost like we need to add animal rights
to a certain.
Is that what the modified is?
Well, the modified doesn't include animals.
Right.
But I know we've had a lot of people call the city office since we've talked about this and concerned, because it's like, we don't want to lose our animal rights, because a lot of these people, again, own city,
mm-hmm.
and then their back part is in the county. So it's like, we don't want to lose our animal rights.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, and when they bought the land, I don't think they knew that it was
commercial.
No.
Probably
not. You what?
They didn't know it was commercial when they bought the land.
Yeah.
But his grandfather, and if there had been animals on it, and they kept animals on it, then they could continue that way.
Right.
Most
right.
of them did not.
That's always been commercial as far as I can remember.
Back on the general plans of the zone.
That stretch.
Yeah.
So the bigger question is that the buffer zone on the west side of that, we need to think about what we want that to be.
Right.
I mean, that's, I mentioned this story with George Anderson coming in here and getting a water connection a while back.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a minor subdivision back there. So he's going to.
Oh, up here.
Yeah. One of those lots that he's doing right now will be for the what's going to be a future house, but there'll be three more lots back there. Mm-hmm. And he's in our buffer zone. We have no.
We need no zoning designation.
We need an annexation plan, is what
right.
we need.
Right.
We need to kind of figure out what we want our annexation areas to look like when they come forward.
Well, when we put the buffers over in place, ain't we got to kind of say what they do with it?
Yes.
Yes. From my understanding, we have all say
about it. But with George's, we would never know that he's doing a minor subdivision.
Because it's in the county.
You see what I'm saying?
The county does send us notice on that.
I read the thing that we approved, but there's nothing on there that
said more than one house.
Right, because that's all he's approved.
That's all he was approved for.
Right. But his because I know, because I'm helping him do the work. But his plat, which I have right here, he'll have three other lots. So.
But I thought part of the county process was to, if you're in the adjacent to the city, you were supposed to see it, to talk to the city and get denied on an annexation before the county would approve any subdivisions outside. That. I don't know if that process is happening. I just read that today.
Subdivision, I don't
just read that today, actually.
Yeah, I don't. I remember that's what they promised us, but I don't know if it's been happening, especially for single-family dwellings.
What do we get from the county on that?
So that was, that form, do you remember, we kind of wrote it off, and you wrote, so on the comments there, we just indicated this, we only provide one water hookup. We put that in those comments, and the services that we'll provide.
But nothing about what is zoned, or...
Because the county already has our zoning designation in the buffer zone.
And do they acknowledge that?
Yep.
Well, what have we designated, I don't remember designating anything.
So when we did that with the planning commission, I'd say it was 2017?
Yeah, the buffer zone designated the land use.
So you have two different residential, so you have the half-acre and one-acre lots, and then you have a business commercial on Main Street.
Was it specific to land use or just density, though? I don't remember.
Shouldn't we have that on our zoning plan as a future? I mean, that would be really nice to...
Well, we have, and I was gonna say, we have an annexation policy that I know we did, it's probably pretty old, but I know we have one, so...
I don't think any of us are familiar with that.
I think it was all when I was on the planning and zoning, we did that annexation policy. We probably ought to dig some of those up and see what they look like, and see what, because that's been quite a few years ago, and...
Because if you could overlay it on the zoning map, now you can have, you can see the vision.
And it should be close to the buffer zone, is what I'm thinking. I mean, they're kind of...
Mirrored that?
Yeah.
But that annexation plan was in place long before the buffer.
Yes. But it should be pretty close to, you know, what, if it was a mile or whatever outside of town, if that was, and there was probably areas where it didn't make sense to annex because of infrastructure.
Right.
So I don't know if you can, if Jeannie can find that annexation policy or...
Stuff on that buffer zone.
It probably was scanned, and it's probably somewhere on the server, but... I know that there's one that exists.
In fact, it was... Didn't it show the existing grid discontinuing?
The city or the state?
No, it was for the city specific. And it... In fact, there was a mandate not too long ago, or when we did that, that required that every city have an annexation policy that included a boundary.
Well, when we talk about, you know, I just want to bring up Johansson subdivision down there. It's a dead, small subdivision, 10 lots, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
And we was going to annex that in the city limits, and that's obviously residential agriculture. Did we ever approve that, or did we move forward with it? We're holding off till we get some water.
Because also they'd have to annex more than just their property too, because it leaves them high.
There was a strip.
Right. So there was a, another property owner who potentially could be involved, but...
It's hard to see George's future subdivisions just for one lot, but you can see there's going to be a platted road there. And the first problem I see with that is the way they're doing that subdivision is the properties to the center of the road. There will be no dedicated right-of-way to the county. So in a future annexation, if that's going to be a public road, I mean, it's just a mess.
Other than I do know, the county is making them do it on that now. They've changed the way they're doing that. And if there is anything of more than that, they're pushing a lot.
The only problem is, Sam, he's there today getting this approved.
Yeah, it looks like it's already planted.
I don't see the county, straight county road. What's the zigzag there?
The zigzag.
They're going through the...
This is the 1 acre, this is the lot he's doing right now.
Okay.
Is he proposing to the county that it's going to be a subdivision?
He's telling the county that this will be a major minor subdivision.
Cancel the C2.
So he is at least letting them know, because then they'll not...
Yeah, but he's only approving one lot.
Right.
So...
Where's the county road, though? I'm not seeing the county road.
See the cul-de-sac?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's above 900 East.
The road's got right there above, is it the road, does his go in there right there above, right where Mont's Barn is right there? That whole...
Okay.
Also,
We're not on Fifth West. I'm trying to make Fifth West out of it.
We're up on
50 North is the lane.
And he's coming back to the south.
And again, the lane is kind of common for future roadways, by the way. So.
Yeah, Claudia, Jared, Lynn, she said just the county zoning admin would have, administrative office, I think, would have a copy of the buffer zone map as approved by the county for Mount Pleasant.
We had the buffer zone. We just was wondering about the annexation policy.
I think we're gonna see a lot of this.
Are we concerned about how it's gonna be zoned? What the classification is, or are we concerned about the size of the lots? What are we?
Annexation policy, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering what it is we're concerned about, is how it's gonna be zoned, or how big the lots are, or what?
Or how the street is.
I think all of it.
We're gonna own all that at one point.
Yeah. Well, we've got street things that we've.
So the buffer zone does have the grid, but my thinking is when I looked at that, I was thinking that we went overboard on that. I mean, I think we should have shown some major streets, but as the subdivision comes in, they're gonna want their own street layout, and it may not match our grid. We got some main collectors, or whatever you wanna call them, that we will wanna keep established and preserve those corridors. I mean, we know what they are in town already for the most part.
I did find your annexation policy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What was the date on it?
That's what I was just looking up to see.
Well, my account is 1983.
It's 83, this one's newer than that. This one's 10/19-01, so.
What's the number?
I think it's 2001, because it's talking about the 2000 current population, so it's gonna be like 2000, 2001.
Is there a code number on that?
10/19.001. It gets into the whole, let's see, adopted ordinance 4/2/24.
Does it have a map?
There's a history on it. I need to read it.
Sometimes those online codes don't match our book.
Yeah, it has a map, they're black and white, so. And it looks, I mean, it looks like it's got further out, around the buffer zone area.
So that's the same boundaries on our colored map there?
Yeah, it looks like it, so.
The white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was adopted on April 2nd, 2024. Or 2004, excuse me.
2004.
Does it have a zoning number on it? Like R5 or RM or?
I don't think there was any zoning established, it was just.
I'd have to go read through it, it's quite.
Annexation, I think what we need to determine as a planning commission and as a council is what we want the city to look like in 10, 20 years. Where do we want the land use? Where do we want density? Where do we want ag? Where do we want commercial? Where do we want multi-use? And I don't know that was fleshed out very to that level in the general plan. I don't think it was, but.
It wasn't.
I can read this real quick, what this says. On it says, "The goals of the annexation vision are, go on to provide controlled, well-planned annexation consistent with the previous annexation declaration map. One, to provide controlled, well-planned annexations, require adequate public facilities, including police, fire, protection before accepting annexations.
Yeah.
Establish an urban growth boundary to encourage positive annexations and discourage negative ones. Only permit annexations that have a net positive gain for the city. Require annexation agreements and in-depth annexation studies at the applicant's expense to analyze all the impacts of annexation to be considered with the previous annexation map. Use the previous annexation map as a guide for developing the current annexation map as required by current state law." And it gets into everything, it talks about all the different restrictions and different things like that on it. And then it talks about different zones, what zones that they should be, like low density, high density, stuff like that. So I think it might be good to actually, I never knew we had one either, so it might be good to.
Well, it may.
Is it specifically stating where high density and low density?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's not, it's pretty high level, and so I think that's the thing is, and maybe you don't want, maybe you want to have a little bit of latitude there. You don't want to lock yourselves down so tight that you have to do certain things right here, because it might not make sense.
We had talked about it today in our meeting. When the survey was taken, everybody wants Mount Pleasant to be more the rural atmosphere. So what we were thinking is in the buffer zone is where we could zone a higher density, building and,
Rather than in the proper area right now.
Something like an RA.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because all around us is fields.
Right.
Now, you'd have your major arteries, though, that could be designated commercial or something.
We also, Glenn Peel, is his subdivision that he wants to do is modified commercial.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to do, we talked about a PUD.
Oh, he wants to have town.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that doesn't
fit.
So we've got to probably get a conditional.
Well, and I was thinking of PUDs because that was the other thing we were talking about. Aspen Billy was a PUD, and so that's a negative PUD.
Oh yeah.
So I think, and I don't know. My thoughts on it was maybe there can, if we do. I don't know what there is on currently what we have, but it would be nice to have in there that, if they are going to do one, that they have to maintain the, roads every so many years, and they have to have, keep the set standard that they can't just, there has to be some kind of a standard that they have to do in order to upkeep it, if that makes sense, versus letting it totally run down, selling the properties and, and leaving us in the mess we were in. But I don't know, and like I said, I don't know if we have anything like that.
I think every city on the waterfront front figured that out, because, that's the trend up north. They're all private. And so I think we just need to look at their language and incorporate that in what we do. Because you're right, there's no teeth and they can ask the village to do anything.
No.
But the challenge with that is the street. I mean, if you have a development, even though it's a PUD, that there's still public access on the streets. And so the challenge, and I've talked to Bruce Wood at Salem, a friend of mine that's the city engineer there, and also Brian Kimball in Ephraim, and they've approved PUDs based on, so they have latitude of what they can do with the developer. Say they want to have a trail or some amenity through there that's public, they can give them higher density to include that, whatever that is, a park. And then, but they maintain the streets, because they said what happens over time is they have good intentions that this PUD is going to maintain the roads, but they don't do a very good job at it. And so pretty soon they get the citizens coming and saying, you need to take over our streets, because the PUD is not taking care of us on it. We're taxpayers, and so pretty soon it ends up like Aspen Village, the town's taking over the streets anyway.
Well, our problem is whether they're public or private, we can't take care of the streets.
Well, you got a point. So maybe that's not a very good argument.
No, but we want to be in a place where we can. We want to be, I think you got to have that boundary of saying, hey, if this is going to be this, then this is the requirements to do it. I mean, any new development come in, whether it's PUD or not, has to meet a set requirement anyway.
Yeah.
But going above and beyond that to maintain that requirement, maybe versus a PUD versus different subdivisions, different.
But I think with the townhome situation, the parking lots and stuff, they're just parking lots. It's not a street, it's private parking lot. So that's a separate issue. I mean, the streets that get to and from, are, you know, could be public, but.
Well, that's what I pointed out to Glenn today, is the problem I see with any new subdivision or annexation is we're talking about a water shortage, but honestly, we're making the developer improve that road. He gives it to us as a city. Now it's in our maintenance inventory.
Right.
And we can't maintain it.
Right.
That's, to me, that's a huge problem.
Yeah,
but they can't either. That's the other problem, is they don't seem to be able to do it either.
That's not true. Many, many, many do, you know.
Up in the big cities.
If you have your HOA, that's part of what's budgeted every so many years to take and seal that road.
Well, the HOA is a private agreement between the developer and the homeowners. It's not the city.
They do a lot of things.
That's right.
Okay, so what's the difference between PUD and HOA? PUD, I don't define it for me.
It's just a planned unit development is what it stands for.
So
the PUD is set up so the developer and the city can have latitude and go away from your zoning, your traditional zoning ordinances, and give them some latitude on having higher density, and you get a park or a trail or something. That's really the function of a PUD, is to have that latitude between the developer and the city.
It's a smaller road because it only goes in a half a block.
Yeah.
Then the city requires, say, a 50-foot road. Well, this PUD's only going to do a 24-foot road because it only goes in 200 feet.
In general, a lot of PUDs will have like a single, single administrator. So everybody goes to him. The HOA, you're going to have a board of committee, or like a committee of people of that development.
Board of directors.
Well, the HOA is a governing body for the...
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And don't they have a recreation area and all that?
HOAs usually have their own little parks, a lot of them, and different things.
PUD.
My sister lives one up on, in off of Geneva Road in Provo. They have no recreation one, but they have people that take care of the roads and the driveways and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of their agreement, you know. They've signed those papers and...
Don't they even take care of the lawns?
Oh, yes.
And all of the shrubbery and all that.
Everything outside.
But the PUD doesn't do any of that, right?
They even say, if they want to plant a tree, you come to us and we'll approve it or not approve it.
Yeah.
But the city has no... The city has no authority in HO if they're not keeping up with their streets or anything. That's just...
Justin, doesn't the city have oversight on what type of structure is set up as an HOA? I'm thinking of Harriman in particular. As part of the approval process, you have to have an HOA set up that meets this requirement. I'm just having a fuzzy thought about that.
As far as I know, it's all between the developer and the homeowner, or what the issue.
I'm talking about the setup of it.
I'm sure. I mean, they do have to.
Well, wouldn't it just be under a stat? It wouldn't necessarily be a PUD. I mean, they can have an HOA if they want, but they still have to follow the same zoning.
Yeah, still come in as original subdivision.
Yeah.
Whether it's
but
HOA
I'm saying
or not.
The city can have oversight on what type of HOA you set up. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Because I remember approvals. I wasn't part of that, but I remember them having to, they bring in an HOA management company that basically sell the city, this is how we're going to set it up. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you have to have some kind of
structure and
support from the city.
They tell you what you need to have as far as your setup.
Maybe some minimums.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to both. I think if it's hard to, a PUD though, in my opinion, the roads and everything would still be public access.
They all they're all legal easements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Each way's the same way. I think you still.
No, they're not. Some of them they're gated.
Yeah.
So it's an Eagle Mountain that's not gated because I know their HOA.
Yeah. Last one I did in Farmington was a gated community.
I think it probably depends on that. How they set it up.
Yeah.
So an HOA would fall under the same ordinances that are subdivisions?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're in the city, they still have to have your police, your fire, you have to have all that. They have to be set up in order for.
Access to the.
Access to all that, emergency stuff like that, because. When they call 911, they are to determine where, if it's an HOA or.
Has a street address and everything else.
But I think the challenge comes when, 10 years down the road, when the HOA fizzles or the, you know, the planned unit development, if the first agreement is to say, well, we're going to create maybe an HOA that takes care of the roads and everything, and over time that begins to not work, then the city is at the mercy of the citizens to take it over and try to maintain it. But like you said, we can't, if we were in a situation where we were maintaining our own that we have now, it would be a different story, but it would be a hard argument to come and say, well, we can't maintain our roads, and when we would say, well, we can't either.
Well, the thing is, old houses, all that tax house is still in the city as a tax base. The only thing they pay into HOA is their actual.
Their dues.
So reality.
It usually works fairly successful. I mean, Hideaway Valley, they have the HOA. Up where my cabin is, we have the HOA that maintains our roads. I mean, it's a little more lax than what it's.
Are they asphalt roads though?
No, these are dirt roads.
Valley Mountain Resort, they do a fair good job maintaining their roads.
Yeah.
The hard part we've had with them is they're not wide enough for fire.
Yeah, they're not standard.
Most of these are not, they're not up to a standard.
No turnarounds, no nothing.
No, it's pretty tough, that one, but.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the.
To, as when they develop the subdivisions, we need to make sure all of those.
We're into that.
Yeah, and the curb and gutter and.
Well, if they're in our city limits, we can. Skyline Mountain Resort's not in our city limits.
But even the buffers on the street and all that.
Yeah, well, and the buffers, well, that would include our city limits, the buffer zone. So you're right, that we'd have to.
Isn't Claudia on the county planning and zoning?
You can, Claudia's got some.
I think we have multiple messages. I was just waiting for the.
She's on planning and zoning, right, for the county?
Are you on planning and zoning, Claudia?
Yes, I'm on the county planning and zoning.
Did you have questions, Mark?
Well, I just think that it's good that she's tuning in, because I think in order for us to be successful with what we're doing, we have to have a lot of collaboration from the county planning and zoning to make, you know, to make things.
Tie it together.
Tie it together, even from master planning in their streets and things like that, and how they look, how they're going to be looking in the future of how their traffic network is and how ours ties into that. I think for too long, we've just been focusing in on our own communities, and now we're getting to the point where we're experiencing so much growth that there needs to be a lot more collaboration.
I agree.
So the county has over a year been redoing their whole subdivision ordinances. So, and zoning. So I can relate, I've only been on the commission for a couple of months, but it's going to deal with roads a lot, it's going to deal with zoning a lot, and it's going to, I think the HOA is going to be a requirement for all subdivisions that they have to have. And HOA, and I'm not sure what one lot and two lot, but I'm sure that's a minor, which is going to be seven lots, I think. Over seven is a major, but at least for a major, it's going to be a required. Now, we just, that's not as been approved yet, it's still kind of being smushed out, but the county is very involved in redoing our zoning and subdivision ordinances, so they're just not finalized yet.
Yeah, but are they getting our input, for example, around our buffer zone?
Might have to say, well, I know she can hear you.
I don't think that there's a change in how it's going to work. I again, I think it's the desire of planning and zoning that you want to have an annexation plan, and two, that buffer zone is doing so a good purpose in creating communication between the county and the city, so we're not letting heads, my development hits the border. So buffer zone is extending the city's border out to wherever your plan was approved, maybe it was the city that requested it and it was approved by the county. Extending that out so there's communication between the two of us, county and city, relative to what happens in that buffer zone. Again, it's for anticipation of future extension of services, primarily probably power and water. But then, as you annex, the next, the services of police and fire and all those other kinds of things that have to be extended as well. So I think buffer zones are going to stay in for the reason that it creates that communication between the city and the county. And there actually is an application that an applicant who wants to build a plan that buffer zone has to bring to the city for the city to give their comments and what if they're going to provide services after that. In that area. So you have input, you can't direct it, but you can have input, and I think, you know, planning and zoning are living in their power, I think, to try to make sure there is communication that what happens in that zone conforms to what your city wants to happen as it extends out into that area through annexation.
Well, that was how it was intended in the beginning, as that was that communication between the county and the city when something took place within that buffer zone. And it has to do with the zoning and the sizes of roads and all of that. And we've got to designate the primary or the access roads. We've got some drawn on here, but and the only ones we've got, we need to make sure that they stay as primary access roads.
Yeah, you can see that they're, well, some of these are already, these white lines, aren't they already roads?
Yeah, they are.
So it kind of makes sense that those are going
to
be the...
Your chair was just saying for your planning and zoning, I'm really concerned about water. And there's been a huge debate, again, it hasn't been finalized, but I remember Mr. Commissioner just today in our meeting, that it got from the state designation of 0.45 acre feet of water to 1.5 acre feet of water for a lot. So that's going to have a huge impact on subdivisions that will pass outside of your city. And water requirements. So it hasn't been finalized, but I know the Fishing Board and have
made. That's going to push more people to want to be annexed.
Well, now, Mike, do you mind if I pop for a second?
Sure.
Just so you guys are aware, well, I know you already are, Mount Pleasant, shortage of water. We know this. You know, you guys have done wells and everything and whatnot. Justin's not on the head when he's saying, you know, we need to look at a lot of these things and seeing with the new buildings and everything going up. I couldn't water my lawn all year. It happens, it's super dry here. But there's a lot more water coming out of Mount Pleasant City that's just in the city. A lot of subdivisions up in HOAs, Aspen Hills, I know that Skyline has some with water, some don't. They do manage most of their water. Over here in Spring City Rancheros, they have to get water and bring over too. So there's a lot of water coming out of the city, a lot more than we realize. There's another subdivision getting built, you guys might not know about, in the county right now, that's going to take water out of Mount Pleasant, like Aspen Hills, just so you're aware of this. I have to haul all my water up to my cabin. It's just dry subdivision.
Yeah, I do too.
So, you know, that all comes from here, from our little city.
Are you talking about people hauling water? Or?
Yeah, you have to, I get from my house, there is services actually that haul water
just
that people
cart.
Pay
to haul water, and most of the time, he doesn't pay for it, but it does happen, and it is hauled up.
So how does the subdivision get approved if they don't have water?
It's a dry subdivision that happened in the '70s.
Oh, so it's a grandfather type thing.
And we talked about putting water crossings here somehow.
And you wouldn't do any good anyway on that kind of stuff. But I'm just letting you aware that there is a lot of water coming out of this city that you're not seeing spent all over through different parts of this community. So I want you guys to be aware of that. And when you talk subdivisions and everything else, roads and access and everything, the one that I live in is a disaster as far as roads.
Which one's that?
Everything.
George's.
Oh, what a disaster.
We hope we got a solution coming.
And that would be great, you know, because we have one inlet, one outlet. There was a fire a few years back, you know, kind of by Ronnie's place, and that could have been really bad, actually. It was put out fairly good, but quick by the fire departments, which kudos to them, but it could have been bad. Because the road, the only access road to getting in and out, that one has been blocked off by boulders. So, you know, something, I don't know you guys, I'm kudos to you guys for doing what you're doing, but I just want you to be aware of what's going on. And there is other subdivisions that can happen. There's other campgrounds, a power plant that are being talked about right now, similar to like Corridors. And what Mount Pleasant Power Plant has up there that's going to require more water, whether they're going to have to drill or whether they're going to, you know, all this, but it's still coming out of the ground here from this little area. And that is in the plans.
Yeah.
Just so you guys are aware of all this.
That's one of our biggest, with the Planning and Zoning Commission, is we have all these people that are coming and wanting to do these subdivisions. And we, you know, kind of put them on hold because we don't know what the water situation is.
Right.
And it isn't fair to the residents of Mount Pleasant to have to, completely, dig up our sprinkling systems and dry xeriscape, because we don't have any water our lawns.
That's probably what's happened with my lawn is xeriscaping because of the amount of water. We don't have the irrigation to water what homes we do have hooked up to, so I'm culinary, and we don't have enough culinary water, plus the expense of it for me, you know, as a citizen. And every home that gets built in Mount Pleasant is not something that's great for the city. It actually costs the city money. We need businesses here, is what we're really.
I do want to emphasize that the water situation is going to get better.
Okay,
what we've got in works, and what's already, you know, the new well we've got is significant already. So I don't, hopefully everybody, I don't want to say that's not a dire need, but it is a dire need, but I don't want it to go, I think people sometimes get a little overboard on thinking that we're in worse than maybe we are. But I think we're doing better than what a lot of people think.
Well, I agree with Sam. I do know that we're, I've never had my water not come on in my house. So we're doing okay that way. The thing is, Mount Pleasant's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. It's just how it is.
Well, and you're not going to stop it. I can tell you right now, you're not going to stop it. The only thing we can try to do is control it and manage it so it's better.
What's our standards that we need to be into where it needs to be?
But I just want you guys to be aware of there's a lot more coming in and out of Mount Pleasant. And people up in that subdivision that I'm in, you know, they cry, oh, Mount Pleasant City said we can't get water, all this stuff. And it's like, this is what you bought into. You don't understand. This is what you bought. You bought a dry subdivision. But, man, you get all the other complaints.
Yeah. Well, for years, they've got it for free. Years and years ago, they got it for free, and then we put it in place that, hey, you know, I did notice that there was a lot of, constant, 300-gallon cubes daily going out, and that's when we put it in place. And you're going to catch the honest. That's all you're going to catch.
And we shut it off this year.
And you got
because somebody got a transformer right there, so it's like we're done.
They have right there. It gets a lot filled up, and then they were actually asking, what's stealing water from North Fork? they got caught on that, you know, so it's, they've been stealing water for a long time up there, but I can't say they haven't been, they have. But I just want you guys to be aware of that, and, you know, from the roads and everything else, but there's some development that's happening, there's another subdivision that's gonna happen next year, I know that for sure. Gentleman's gonna build another HOA, big one, kinda like Aspen, and then a campground, it's like 40 acres or something like that, just below the power plant. It's gonna be, you know, similar to what Mount Pleasant has right there, that they're wanting to do, so.
But he's gonna have to provide his own water.
Yeah, they will, but it still comes out of the same water, you know, all before the water came out.
Yeah.
So just so you're aware.
So, to Connie's point on the property and, you know, tearing up your lawn so other people can build and have enough water. I think we need to remember that the people on property in the city limits have the right to build just like anybody else that has built already, and they have those expectations that they can. And so I think as a governing body and a planning commission, we need to make sure that as those demands come, that we're prepared and have the infrastructure to provide. I think that's one of the responsibilities of the city government is to make sure that you can provide that. And I think we're doing that. I mean, we might be a little bit behind, but I don't think we can say to anybody that, at least is my own opinion, it's hard to say you can't, I can build my house here, but you can't. Well, I have property in the city. Why can't I build a house here? And so I think we can do things smart. I think we can put conservation efforts in place and maybe even have ordinances that have less green space and things like that and have incentives or however we want to do that. But I think it's a really slippery slope when we start trying to say what you can and can't do with your property within the city. And I don't know that he was saying that.
Yeah. But my counterpoint is we do that. We do it with zoning. We tell you what you can do with your property.
To some degree.
We also, my thought process, instead of building and then figuring it out, I'm saying let's figure it out and build.
I agree.
I just think that's
what we're trying to do.
I agree. And rural communities have a hard time doing that
because
we don't have the resources to, and we don't want to spend the money to plan and get, because it's just not something that, you know, it's
so my interest isn't so much of what the new well's going to produce. My interest is this study thing that we talked about last summer. Where are we at on paper with water? Both in terms of what we have available, which are water rights, and then in terms of physical water. We talked about today, we have over 2,000 acre feet of water, but we only use 500 to 800 acre feet a year.
I think in comparison, I think we're good. I really do.
But Sam, I think this is where everybody goes back to. If we have so much stinking water, why am I rationing every summer?
Well, we don't have it developed.
Yeah.
And so we have reinstated impact fees to alleviate that.
Well, and there are a lot of people, you got to differentiate between you're being rationed really heavily, well, on both, but irrigation mainly, but culinary as a secondary due to the fact that when we ration irrigation, we know everybody's going to use culinary, and therefore, as a precaution, you don't want everybody just all of a sudden using culinary and then having a major hit, and then having your main drinking water supply be hammered.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to have them both in the same way. So, I mean, really, you're really getting hammered on irrigation because we do not have, really, the irrigation wasn't there. I mean, there was very little water this year on irrigation.
So as a community, are we going to be an irrigation-intense community, or are we going to be not? I mean, we need to decide
what we've got in works with this new irrigation, it's going to be a huge, significant impact in a plus of what we're doing. I mean, really, it's just a matter of getting all the ducks in a row to get everything actually getting digging. That's the big part.
That's kind of what we've been running into with these developers, whether it's Glenn Beal or McKay Quinn. They're pushing wanting approvals right now, and we're saying no.
Yeah.
When you guys tell us the water system's in and here's how many units it can supply, then great.
I think the water's there, but the units we don't know yet because it isn't fully developed yet.
Right.
And you know, that might be another year.
Yes, and so our point is, I'm like you, I'm not trying to put a moratorium on all buildings, but it's a big difference over 12 months to approve 12 single-family residences downtown versus...
That are high-density.
Glenn's.
Yeah.
12 buildings with 6 townhomes in each building, that's 72 units, or Ashley Grabs, or, sorry, McKay Quinn's.
50.
70 different lots.
Yeah, I mean, those are huge, but those are huge demands.
Right, so I'm just saying...
But I think right now we're right on track going that way. I mean, that's my personal opinion, I don't...
Just keep telling them.
I mean, I think until the treatment plant gets up and running and the wells all tied in, I think at that point, then we'll really...
And what do we tell them?
The well is drilled.
As far as approval, yes, we're going to approve it.
The sad part is, again, going back to by law, they're in the city limits, we can't deny it either.
That's what you said today.
We can't deny it.
The individual building.
No, any of them.
Any of them.
I think you can on a temporary basis, I think you can suspend, but I don't think you can make a permanent... I think that's what I was saying, you have to find a solution and develop more water. You can't just have a permanent suspension of building.
So your responsibility is...
So if he goes in and starts building the roads and puts curbs and gutters and everything, then he can just do that and he can start a building?
Well, he'd have to come from planning zoning, and we'd have to make sure the roads are met and everything else. But legally, we can't stop them unless we have a moratorium on all building.
I read the subdivision ordinance, 11.02.02. Says the purpose of this title shall be to promote health, safety, and convenience and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of the city, to facilitate orderly growth and develop to the city. So right there, in a general sense, I think you do have ability as the city council to say, hey, we have a problem, we're working to solve it, but in the meantime, we feel like we need to do this route, and I think...
Basically, if you split a lot, you're creating a subdivision.
That's my beef, is every lot split.
Every lot split is a subdivision.
Is a new connection.
Well, it's a new subdivision, because you took one and now you made it two, so that's a lot split is actually a small...
Even though he's zoned commercial, is he zoned to start doing this down by Peels, Glendale? Is he zoned for that?
Well, that was my concern today in planning and zoning, is like, for that high density...
Well, isn't he in the property?
No, he's talking about Alan Schilly's property, right behind the hospital.
Oh, he bought that, man.
Yeah, so that's where he's wanting to do his townhomes. So again, that's in the city.
Last night, he was going to do it out further behind.
Yeah, the Charlie McKay deal was like, no, because that's an annexation, but right behind the hospital, he's bought all that and wants to do the townhomes.
Those are my property, right?
That's the thing, again, it's like, it's zoned right now, general, what is it? General modified commercial. So again, in my opinion, if that's the case where he wants to build, that many is a development, it's not falls in the commercial code, as far as I...
That's why I say you can't build a subdivision in commercial, right?
Well, the language is, it says apartment, or what did I read today?
Motel, multifamily.
It's really...
It's very weird.
It's bad language.
Single-family, multi, like motel, apartment complex.
So we are probably...
But it doesn't say anything specific about ownership, like he wants to build townhomes, which...
Okay.
I mean, we could go ahead and approve an apartment, but...
It says apartment or multifamily dwelling. And then down below, it says single-family.
So basically, multi-dwelling would be...
A fourplex, a duplex.
A fourplex or duplex, which would be zoned for commercial.
Yeah.
Because they're required to have all your fire sprinklers and...
But he doesn't want to own all of those.
Yeah, the difference is, he's building to sell, but they can't do that, though.
So a conditional use is a single-family unit, land usage S is specified on a conditional use.
That's if we choose to give a conditional.
Yeah, so again, we're doing all these conditional use permit, and we... Yeah.
It's kind of worms.
It is, I don't really, me personally, I hate conditional use.
I do too.
I mean, that's just my thought, just because it opens up so many, because then as soon as you do it for one, then the next person, then give him a conditional use, why not me?
So the developments up north, if you've noticed, they're all mixed use, right? They're all some type of high density with commercial.
Or a few single-family houses in it.
Yeah, and that's what makes the money work.
Yeah. I mean, most people would want to rent, a lot of people. Apartments.
You can walk to all your amenities, you know, your store, all that.
We look at Spanish Fork, for instance, I mean, look at the growth there.
But we're essentially a bedroom community, we don't have a ton of business.
Our grocery store's down there, right? And so that makes sense to.
It's getting busier and busier. I go out there on Friday, when you get all these people coming down, and it is, there is a lot of people.
It's an ideal place where Glenn wants to build that, because again, there's no neighborhood around, so you're not impacting.
Well, and he even talked about a 55 and older community there, which would be perfect.
So why can't you just do a zone change?
Well, that's what was one of the.
The items here we're talking about tonight, so.
You have, the only hard part now is it just be, would you zone change just that area where that's at? Because if that hospital ever grows, and they decide to buy land down there, if you ever do, or whatever.
They're going to Ephraim, I hate to say it, but that's their plan.
I don't know if the first, so just to put things into perspective real quick, so with the treatment plant online, we're expecting to treat 300 gallons per minute. With the well, we're hoping to get 300 gallons of this yield, a total net of 600 gallons per minute. That would actually accommodate 1,728 connections at 500 gallons per day. And so I don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction and say, oh, we're going to run out of water, so let's stop growth, because 1,728 connections is a lot of connections.
Street commercial modified.
Glenn is our first in line, and we actually, you know, we said, when we can, when we do know about water and feel comfortable, we are the first we're going to.
And I think we're feeling pretty good about that, because we know we're going to at least be able to treat what we can see, and the well so far is looking pretty good. So I think the biggest thing is, aside from water, is land use, and those two are interconnected, because you may have our general plan may show a certain zone, and then another planning and zoning comes in and says, well, we want to have multi-family high density there. Helps on the landscape, but it's still more density, and so you have, it's hard to plan for your infrastructure and have your land use mesh, because it's fluid, it's always changing.
How would he got double access? Because in order to build anything subdivision, you have to have two access for emergency.
So he wants to come off right west of Carter's.
Mm-hmm.
Take the road to the south till he hits the north fence line, and he's going to go down by Piccadilly Building and tie into the.
Clear down there.
Yeah, that's his plan.
So does he own the right of, he's got right of way?
He owns all the land.
Owns all the land back that way.
And so that would, in my opinion, that would be a good situation to consider a PUD and maybe put the trail through there as part of a trade-off for density.
See, and there again, I think the city would take the road, the main road, but anything off that main road would go to the pod.
Yeah.
So we'd have access to tie the two together and make it, because you know dang well, again, he's talking about other subdivision out back that he wants to do.
Well, if it's just a townhome, though, right when it leaves the main road, to me that would be basically a parking, private parking lot,
right,
in a sense. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But even hit me after planning zoning today and going back to work, it's like, here we've got Carter's trailer park right there. Almost after that meeting, it's like, we ought to take that whole corner from the road that goes to the out south of the park, take that whole thing and make it a high density area. You got your park there, so it gets a good place for a higher density housing. You've got some green space there. You've got your stores close by.
And you do a simple conditional use.
Designate that whole area right there, because that would give you a good place for some good growth and
affordable housing.
Yeah.
It's already in the city limits, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it all of it, or is it only part of it?
Wouldn't that be practical to make that, or Now, I assume.
What would that, what would be that piece of, what's that, only owns this right here?
I do commercial land.
So that road.
So you could have some.
It'd be that little road right there, right? So that road come on through, go to the back, and then come out and go down Fifth Web.
This way, and it could go up here and connect onto this road and come back too. That's what I'm saying, designate this whole area as high density housing right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to park here within.
Well, here's the one you'd want to tie to, and that one that.
Well, this is right here. So this is all the park right here.
Right, and here's the road that tees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because this is the city limit trip here that has access.
You guys just want to change this here, I mean.
There is an existing road.
Kind of started on that guy.
So again, it's like, how many areas do we want to rezone, I think, because we need to redo this all at once.
Yeah.
I recommend.
Yeah, right, and they have one.
You have to have one, just do it once, yeah.
We go back to the RM, we're on Fifth West, we can go west again.
I think we ought to leave, the more I talked about, me and Kevin, we've had some input. I think I'd like to myself see it left commercial with a different code rating that lets agriculture in there also.
You could do.
Commercial RA, what it is.
You could do RA and have a commercial manufacturing overlay zone.
Yeah. So that those people that's already there, that's got animals, it's not going to bother them, but if somebody sells and a business wants to come in, that's our primary road, it's a good road.
That would be a good road.
Let them take an old house and knock it down and build a new commercial building on there. So in my opinion, I think we need to keep it still a commercial, but I think we also need to allow those that's there to leave their animals there.
I agree.
So commercial with a residential animal overlay.
Yeah, something that way overlay.
That way you can enforce your codes, deal with that, but you versus.
Residential, let's say, commercial, residential.
Agriculture.
Agriculture, yeah, RA.
So it'd give you all three options there on that area, because that main road, and I almost, if we're going to do that, I almost think we need to do something even maybe on the east half of that road too. With it being a major road, I don't think anybody would ever build a commercial there. But you never know.
Single family and RA right now.
So we take the east, kind of similar to what State Street's done. Maybe we go half a block and we designate half a block east and on the west side of that road to be commercial.
Only thing on the east side, most of the homes along, most of them are homes along there, and the majority of them are newer homes.
You got like Olroy though with his machine shop there.
Yeah, but he's retiring and going away and.
What's that block of RM right there?
That's where the Fackle fourplex.
Yeah, that's the Fackle.
Is that still going to happen?
Should we ask people along there what they think?
I think it'd be a good idea.
Getting out of nothing.
I think, again, I think we need to look at the areas we're interested in rezoning.
Do them all together.
And then put it out to the public and have a public input meeting, because again, we put it out there rather than asking everybody individually, or have them have a paper at the meeting and say, do you agree with this or not? And then try to rezone all these areas.
Mayor, my only concern, because I live down there on 500 West, if you go onto the east side, and I love my neighbor across the street, I think he is one of the most amazing people in the world, but does that give, if you add commercial on there, does that give them permission to continue to have all of those vehicles on their property?
On the property, yes, but not on the street.
On the right way.
I would be leery about going on the east side, I really would. You got to go the way out of one, and that'd be a clean break.
But again, you've got the main road there, so if we're going to use the main road, and you want to increase commercial, if somebody's willing to sell their house out on the east side, and.
Well.
I don't think it'd ever happen.
I don't either. I just think it's a clean break. If you go commercial on the east side, then you got to draw a line. Are they going to go up half a block or whatever? I think it opens up the potential to invite more things that Jeannie's dealing with across the road. On the west side, they've got plenty of property behind them to do whatever they want.
The hard part is finding a resident living there. I don't live down there, but if I wanted to live there, you know, say I planned my whole life down there, on my hand, if I was a resident, and I really wouldn't want a commercial building going right next to me either.
Right, you know.
I mean, there's kind of no way to order there, so I mean, some people may not, some may not.
Bowling alley is a permitted use down there.
You know, I personally wouldn't want that, I mean, I wouldn't want to live next to a bowling alley.
I don't think a bowling alley wants a horse corral next to their.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, there may be, I mean, hindsight thinking that, it may definitely be a word.
I know we just really got finished with the general plan, but it may be worth doing an amendment to that and just having, just looking at the land use element of that and expanding on that with these discussions we're having, so.
On the west, Fifth West, the commercial and agriculture, commercial, residential, agriculture.
Yeah, because I don't think we, I think we've always just kind of looked at this map and said, okay, this is what it was, is, and.
Yeah.
Maybe we haven't really taken the time to think through all these things.
Well, there's not been a need, but now there is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's really, I think a general plan, I mean, the essence of it is good, but the land use element, I think.
We know that a little bit.
Yeah.
So what are you suggesting for Peels? It's, right now it's commercial modified, right?
Right. If we could do RM back in there.
You got to do a seven.
Why not do a high density type thing?
Well, RM work, or do we have to just do another code to be higher density?
And that's kind of what I said, I feel like our definitions of RS, RA, and RM are kind of dated, or like a shift between like low residential, mid, high, kind of, that's what Ephraim's done.
Yeah.
I feel like the terminology is dated.
Everybody has a different, you know, what.
What is an RA?
What's a town hall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the dealer decides to sell it at.
You can probably look up in Ephraim's and see like that's an R4, highest density zone.
Yeah, I like that.
Simplify it maybe a little bit better.
The other thing is, if you look at this map and you zoom in on it, you can see these zones fall like, we'll go right to somebody's house.
Right.
I know, this matters.
It might make sense to try to get a little bit of precision on that. So when you guys are looking at it, you can see, okay, this zone stops right here instead of trying.
And I would like to see the annexation line on this map.
Yeah.
So I can see it all together.
Right, right.
Apparently that's what this white shaded.
White shaded area is.
Well, that's the buffer zone.
Buffers.
Is that the buffer zone?
I think still that, looking at the annexation we looked at, it looks like the same map. It looks like the exact same map.
Well, we didn't have the buffer zone when this was made.
No, we didn't, but it looks like, it almost looks like they figured that mile when they done this.
So what's all the RAs that have to city?
Oh, it's a mile.
Just.
Wasn't the buffer zone a mile around?
For the most part. I don't know if it was exactly a mile all the way around. I think there were some areas where we limited that because of serviceability to the utilities.
Well, I think tonight we could change this commercial modified that blends in. We could have a proposed change on that one and a proposed change on Fifth West. And you want to look at other areas?
We're going to this one too.
This, what's this one down here, RM?
Yeah, it's a nightmare if someone ever tries to develop it.
What is that?
That's the.
Multi-residential.
Is that over by the Steak Center?
No, it's Clear Fifth.
That's down where
It's Clear West of
Mindy Brotherson lives.
It's west of her. It's west of Mindy.
Why is that that way?
We don't know. That's one that needs to be cleaned up, because if somebody was to develop that, they'd have to pump the sewer back up to.
Up to the road?
Up to Fifth West to, well.
There ain't no sewer out there.
That's what I'm saying, though. They have to go to Fifth North and connect the sewer line on, so it's like.
Well,
you don't want that many houses down there and have to pump the sewer.
Cost prohibitive.
Okay, so what do we want there? RA?
I think we need to rezone it like Dave's saying. I think we need to look at totally going to.
That's the better fix.
An RA1, an RA2, an RA3, and an RA4. And the RA4 is a higher density. And
you can rezone them into individuals out of that.
Here's another problem. If we go commercial RA on Fifth West, how far are we going to let commercial go west? I mean,
right now we can only stop it at our city limits.
Okay, and that's probably a good plan for right now.
But we got Glen Peel, or not Glen, but Dale Peel, and is there anybody else west of him?
Yeah. Well, he's on Main Street, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on Main Street. That's below Fifth West. Well, that's down here in this area you're talking right there.
But that goes back to the annexation plan. We need to figure out what we want out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think anything on a major artery like Main Street or State Street ought to be somewhat of a commercial.
And that's what it is in our buffer zone. It's commercial.
Right.
County commercial.
And isn't it already that, or maybe not?
It is already in the buffer zone that the county has. It's
we've got it designated that.
Designated commercial buffer zone.
You know, one thing I don't like about that buffer zone map is the street grid. I don't like how we just carried that all the way out. It's probably irrelevant.
I think it was just like placeholders for matching kind of some of these.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean that if somebody comes in and wants to do something different, we can't. Right. We can.
Yeah. We can wiggle the roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for easy convenience, it's easier just to do those plots on out to designate roads going out there.
It is. I think the most important thing is preserving those corridors that are there as development comes and making sure that they're wide enough for.
Yeah.
Because most of them right now, the county has, are only 50 feet.
Like 900 East needs to be a local upstairs street.
Right? Yes.
Right?
Most of the counties that I know are 66 feet wide.
Yes, they are.
What's the one?
It's probably still on. Can she verify that? I'm pretty sure I think what? They're...
I've seen that in the subdivision ordinance, that it needs to be 66.
Did you hear that question, Claudia?
But what's tricky isn't the city on the east side of our road? So when we
on which side?
On 900 East. So we need to annex enough to get a bigger right of way through there. It needs to be on a master plan.
I think we need to annex a lot of that property up east of 900 East. If we can.
I was saying, isn't most of the county, did you know, Claudia, the right of way 66 feet?
Yes, that's kind of the new ordinance. All roads will be 66 feet. That includes the right of way.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little narrow than that.
Is there going to be a designation of just asphalt and then the 66 feet, including the right of ways?
I think it's 66.
66 feet for right of way. Well, that's so it can be asphalt at a later date, but it's really for winter snow removal, so we can have two passes to get the road clear with the graders. So, and to allow that distance and right of way, putting utilities along there as well. So, yeah, it's going to 66 feet. I think that's going to be a done deal for all road development.
See, but the roads we're worried about are big roads.
But I think they'll still go back in. Anything that's a narrow road, they'll require that 66 feet.
Well, what I'm saying, Sam, is like, it's like, what's a good, I don't even think we have a good example. Is 500 West, what's the right of way on 500 West? Is that a
99?
Everything in the city.
It's a big one. So, let's use going south of the park. That would be one where we're talking about that part, because that's now in the city limits, but it was an old county road. So that
we need a traffic plan that allows for a bigger collector street, bigger than the 66-foot right-of-way.
Depending on what way I think it goes back, kind of back to your land.
Designated.
You know, if you really 66-foot, if you just got a few multiple, you know, just single homes out there, 66 feet probably sufficient.
Yeah, local road, but we know what roads are established now as main roads in our town.
I guess maybe I'm not trying to.
So 900 East should continue south from 2nd South and tie over to 700 South.
Right.
That needs to be a 99-foot right of way. Because that's gonna serve.
Or at least a 66.
Well, I'm saying 60-foot. Didn't we just do an ordinance that states one on a right of way?
We talked about that at that work meeting.
We sent it back to them and they've had questions. And
if you look at subdivisions up north, 66-foot is a subdivision width, not a big road.
Yeah, but we were talking about that because we talked about Because see, when they approved that on our road widths, the road widths are bigger on a collector street than the other.
Right.
And we talked about that in our, when we approved the road widths and let on that.
Well, all of them are based on having travel lanes and parking on the side. And that's, I think we forget, is you gotta have, they gotta park somewhere, and that's on the sides.
I can't remember which ones we.
I have, I got it wrote down right.
Yeah, he's got it.
You've got it all wrote down there. I know the collectors were bigger than the.
Well, we had the 66-foot road for the mains, and then 50-foot was in the subdivision.
So I guess that's what boils down to, is if that's gonna be a collector road, for sure, going across like you're talking, then yeah, it needs to be at least a 99 probably.
But we talked about 66, and then having the 10-foot public utility easement on each side, which makes it 86 feet for utilities and everything, but 66 is pretty wide if you're just talking.
Sure.
Road.
Well, that is, that's with a 36-foot road.
36 or 24.
Well.
Asphalt was 24, and then an 8-foot lane.
I don't remember.
We did a 50-foot. I wrote them down.
See, 50-foot for a subdivision, you don't have any parking.
That was the idea.
That's the challenge.
I think the idea was we didn't want them parking on the streets.
But they do. That's why you do it.
Well, but it'll be limited.
But if you go wider, then that just, it's two-edged sword, because then we have to maintain wider asphalt.
The 50-foot road would give you a 12-foot in each lane and an 8-foot parking strip along the side.
We talked about having parking on the side. I remember.
And then a 10-foot utility right away past that 8-foot.
Are these the requirements for subdivisions?
Yes, we were talking about.
They haven't been.
We haven't formed an ordinance and approved it, because we kind of talked about it, and we sent it back to you guys to see your opinion, and then it's.
We talked about the width.
You talked a little bit about the width, but I don't think it's, you know, been 100% decided either.
I brought all those standards over there, just a small part of the cities I've worked in. I was cleaning out the office today. Justin published all of them, so I just.
We had some comparables too from Mapleton.
Yeah, these was Mapleton's.
Mapleton, San Quentin, I think.
Well, we used Maple, we thumbed through them, and we settled on Mapleton.
Yeah.
I live on Second South, like you know, and it's not wide enough for as busy a road as it is. It's not
the 99. The right away is wide enough, just the asphalt.
The asphalt's not.
Yeah.
Have you measured the asphalt? Is it just 20 feet?
Yours is better than mine on Main Street.
No, I'm not going to play, I'm sorry.
So yours is just 20 foot wide though, isn't it?
No, I did a little wider.
24 probably.
Yeah, 24.
It's 24 feet.
It's two 12-foot lanes. And even when you're driving, sometimes you're like.
Just because you're in a big truck all the time. Like a big hit.
Be careful what you wish for.
But that's got enough room outside the roadway to park too.
But once you put curb, I'm thinking in the future you're gonna have curb and gutter.
You'd have to have it all asphalt.
Yeah, you're gonna be bound by that curb and gutter. You're not gonna have.
So one thing I was thinking of is why not have the public utility easement and let people park on that. And then they have the developer improve that with asphalt or whatever, and then the people that live there have to maintain it. If they let it go to gravel, then they're parking in gravel. I don't know.
Well, are you gonna have curb or not though?
Well, it would be a roll curb, just a roll curb where people can.
Or sidewalk.
Or sidewalk.
Yeah. So the PUE is always on the outside of the sidewalk. You drive utilities, power, gas, phone, all go right there. Street lights go there. All your services, the meter cans go on the inside,
mm-hmm.
All your hydrants, so.
See, we had 28-foot of road, let's see. But we had that 2-foot curb, and then 5-foot of planter, and then 5-foot of walk. And that was
the 10-foot after that, right?
Yeah, so we had 32-foot plus.
The 10-foot PUE goes into the lot.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically
it's an easement. Just an easement.
So that was 42. Right.
But it's still, you put utilities.
52 there.
Well, the dry utilities go there. All your utilities.
That was a 50, that was 50 foot.
None of the sewer water.
Right. Goes in the street.
50 foot overall.
You can put, right.
Powerful gas.
A subdivision type road.
Yeah. Your road. Well, because we've got some roads already in town that's 50-foot, so trying to match.
So I don't know if it's necessarily the right-of-way that's the issue. I think it's more the pavement width that we're talking about.
And the curb and the parking.
We was trying to keep the pavement widths at minimum. Like, see, we had 24 feet for the asphalt.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's just not enough. There's no, that's no parking. That's just two travel lanes.
Right.
That was just, the 24 was just a regular...
That's what we would pay that half.
That was just a regular road. That's not like a big collector street.
No, that's what it's not.
That's what I'm saying. If you had a curb, if you require storm drainage, that curb stops you right there.
But actually, on the 66-foot road, you only wanted 12 foot of asphalt on that one, too.
Well, that was the driving lane.
And then Mapleton had 36, and we everybody was talking about grading the roads. That they wanted to just be able to do two passes to grade the road.
For snowplows.
For snowplows.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at Mapleton, they're 36 and 28. We were 20, so we changed those dimensions to 24. So that, before we set anything in concrete, we better take a good look at that.
I think the reason, I think we were trying to be a little bit budget-minded, too, on how do we maintain a 36-foot road.
Well, but on a major collector, like he's referring to, that we might have to consider that.
Yeah.
We have to establish some, you know, major collectors, but, you know, you take the main road going down to the Contoid, you're not going to get corner width down there.
No.
And so I think we were looking at what we can fit in, too.
Yeah.
Actually, when we platted the industrial park, it was 50 feet until we got past Dimmick's, I think. Yeah. And then we actually widened that and visited with Robin to get some more property there. And so that is a little bit wider once you get past Dimmick's. If you go down...
You got Robin east of Dimmick's and you got...
Well, west of Dimmick's.
West of Dimmick's, that's probably okay, but...
But the armory in that, but there's not much you can do with that.
Yeah.
At this point. Because it...
Unless well, I think that's why we were looking at the 66.
Unless you take some on the north...
The only one you could do a 99-footer would be this ninth east. And then it isn't going to be 99 feet from...
Second south
to fifth north.
But it needs to be.
That's terrible.
It could be from second north on out. It could be wider because there's enough room. Well, to
you could, I mean, you could make them wider. You just have to go through homeowners and that. I mean, there's no home blocking you. It's just property, if that makes sense. So there is.
Unless there's one that's, you know, you can't be your setback. But.
Well, we have that problem on 5th East. We run into that problem with the, well, it was when we were doing the Johansson house. That house on the corner, the house that corner is right on the city easement. I mean, there's no 30-foot setback. It's right on the city easement. The corner of the house up there on 3rd South and 5th East. It's a kind of angle, but when we went and measured all that out, that corner of that house is right on the edge of the city easement.
Yeah.
There's no setback. So.
Well, it sounds to me like we need to have another work session to make a decision on our ordinances on road widths. And so
we
clean up our definitions.
Can we change it? I don't think we can change any of the existing streets, can we?
If there's reality, you can. If there's nothing as a house blocking it.
If your right-of-way is clear, you can.
If it's there, I mean, you can do things.
I just surveyed my lot.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. $3,000 later. How far south do you go over the road? Actually, it's right on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought the back was right, the front's right.
It looked like it was really close.
It's really close.
Who did that for you?
It's Jones.
Three grand.
9 feet.
Does the city have to purchase that property?
It's probably one.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to avoid
one
that.
Of
that reality, it's in the owner benefit to put a road through there.
It's because the same.
Then,
yeah.
Tough 90
feet. The biggest thing is going forward, we want to do things right. I mean, there's a lot that can be said about what's been done, and I think we address those issues as as something we need to going forward.
I think we really got to look at 900 East though, as we start letting building go on, or those vacant lots, we got to get another setback. I mean, that's basically where we need to look at stuff.
Well, nothing's been planted up there, has it?
No, that's where it's going.
But even the case subdivision, we need to, because we need to look at 500 North via some kind of
through road.
So we need a master plan for him, so we know what to.
I think personally, there's ways around.
Has that.
I mean, but the problem we have with the.
Each ends in.
2010.
500 North, what do you call that, Mike, that?
Oh, you're talking about where Tibbs.
Yeah, Tibbs.
Yep.
So the developer, let's clear up on 900 East. So when he develops that.
So that's, is that coming or? Well, isn't Beck's going through the middle of that area right now?
No.
Well, there was.
Beck's had been in contract with the other deal, so this McKay Quinn's got it all.
Well, I think you guys are right in establishing what those need to be, so when they do come in and get them platted, we say, no, we need this much dedicated.
Plans for 500 North all the way up through.
Not only there, but wherever it's taking place, we need to know what needs to be set aside for the proper road.
Well, that still work.
This 500 North.
Seems like there's a lot of road.
It does, but it's only 50 feet right now.
Yeah.
How you go back and change it?
Well, that's what we need to address.
But 900 East up there, I don't think it's 50 feet.
The existing one?
Oh, that's a narrow, that's a bad road.
But if you go south of Second South, where there's nothing's been done yet, I mean, we can.
We can easily master plan.
Determine what that's going to be.
Well, I'm just saying.
But we do need a master plan from Second South, Second North, though, and say, in the future, we need this right of way.
So I know on my lot up there on Main Street, just to First South, the sewer line's actually in on my property.
Yeah.
They've added 10 feet in my property line, basically again, because there wasn't enough room out the road to put it out there.
Right.
So again, going back to like Mont's, where nothing's built on Mont Larson's again, that's another place where we need to say, we need at least another 10 feet to widen out that road.
That'd be perfect.
Is that on right?
It wouldn't line up with the, it wouldn't line up with the other road going south though.
That is on right.
It'd be a little jog.
Oh, not your house.
Build around the bow. Why not? Well, that's one way to handle offset intersections, make them more safe.
It's all residential agriculture.
Yeah, yep.
Well, I think maybe we ought to just take one bite at a time. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's figure out what the next step is for zoning. And take that step, and then maybe we need to plan another, get together again and talk about roads. And be more organized, have some more information, because I know I have a lot of information that's just not with me.
What's everybody's thoughts of changing the zoning to like R1, R2, R3?
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's a good start, at least.
Yeah.
So then that way we can work on it, people work on that the same, because those results are coincide with what's on your map.
What do we want to do? How does the commercial come in for that, for EFOM?
Then you have like, I want to say they have like different tiers too. Like obviously the Walmart commercial is going to be different than what's someone like EFOM Tire pulls and stuff like that. So I'm sure they have differing types of commercial usage.
So commercial could be 1, 2, 3, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Do we want to try and do the same thing?
I'm sure it's online, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we definitely need to come to an agreement with our roads too.
Yeah.
That can't be pushed down the road unintended much longer, because.
Well, if we do.
Then it needs to be an ordinance, you know, sooner than later.
If we do, when somebody comes in to get a concept, you guys are going to say, well, what do we need here for a road?
Yeah, well, that's part of their trouble right now.
It'd be nice if you already had that, you had that established and you know what is expected. And it'd be nice for the developer to know what's expected too.
It needs to be in the ordinance. We can enforce.
So I think.
You know, your thoughts, Dave? Well, I think we're, maybe not Jason, but I think for the most part, our group is good to go with whatever you tell us it's going to be. I don't know that we're asking to be in on deciding what that is. We're just saying we just need a decision so that whether it's Glenfield or the Cape Cod.
Do we need a public hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before we can do anything, a zoning change.
I think we need to know what we're going to propose first.
I wouldn't think so on the roads, do we?
No, roads, but on zoning.
Important, where you could draw a line on zoning, in my opinion, you're in court.
Jason, we make recommendations to them, so if we want to do that.
Yeah.
And these road standards that we're talking about, again, that's just applying to future development, right? Because I don't think any of us anticipate this entire grid getting curb and gutter.
No.
And
there's a standard, dude, if we don't have a standard.
Curb and gutter and sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. If somebody comes in to build a new one, that is.
Right, a new one, that's what I'm saying.
Right, even within the city limits.
That's where part of our dilemma comes, because you still, I'm going to use Mont Larson's for example. There's a prime example up there where he's got a street all the way around that whole three-sided big block, which at some time when that becomes available, how you address that for sidewalks? You know, because again, everything in town now, we're splitting lots and still not.
It's more than two lots. It's a subdivision, right?
Yeah, supposed to be, but we've done a lot that's not.
Right.
It's not been that way.
I wonder how many we have like that in town.
There's quite a few.
Well, we got yours would kind of count.
Yeah, because I'm the same way. I'm three-sided.
Can you get through that stuff?
If you put curb and gutter in, then where do you tie it to?
Right. Yeah, that's the next question.
That's like where you can or take it.
Just end it?
Down road. Because that's even.
It doesn't make sense to have a house that doesn't have a. You know, if somebody comes in for a lot split, it's somewhere in an established part of town, and you say, well, put curb and gutter sidewalk there, and they got this section of curb and gutter sidewalk with nothing on either side of it.
Yeah. See, we really need a right-of-way that shows an existing right-of-way, what existing right-of-way should look like. To be honest with you.
Well, I think most people want to keep that rural and have just how it is, in my opinion, in the community.
So we need a right-of-way that shows that, right? This is your right-of-way. This is existing. I mean, there's no sidewalks. But we need this much asphalt. We need, you know what I mean?
And the curb and gutter only gets required the moment you go outside of that perimeter. Because you can't. You cannot possibly start just picking one lot.
No, but if somebody builds a subdivision.
Oh, yeah.
With a new road and everything, then you can.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. The curb and gutter thing, to me, you designate whatever the perimeter is, and if it's outside of that, it now gets the new rules. If it's inside of that, we don't force someone.
We want to make it easier for you guys to not have to you know, fumble through that kind of thing. Well, our ordinance says this, and it's not practical, so.
What do we do?
And you need to have something that you can, you know, feel comfortable basing your decision on and saying, yeah, this is what we do. There's not a lot of guesswork about it.
Right.
Because you have had the one who can think. Can we get some better wording?
Yeah, I'd get all of it.
But then that opens up a can of worms when you start doing curb gutter. What do you do with the stormwater master plan? What do you do with
it? House, oh, you have a 24-foot.
Just keeps, are we going there? Keeps growing.
So,
which is good and bad.
Yeah.
Are we going to do like a.
Where does it end, like, Jason?
What's the
plan? I think we got to come up with some.
When money's not an issue.
We got to get this R1, R2, R3 thing.
Gold
Street. I think we've got to get some of that established before we take anything to a public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have some kind of a format or a copy of, is it Ephraim City?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Kind of the verbiage that they have for each one of those things.
Yeah, we should be able to get that pretty easy.
Email it out.
So what time frame do you think we're looking at? I know with Glenn, I would. We'd like to give him a.
He come in. He's behind.
Are you there? well, we're trying to get a time frame for you with engineers and that. But I mean, he doesn't want to do any of that until he gets the go ahead. So.
Well, we've got to rezone that whole area, and we talked about that. So that is a zone change, just like Fifth West is a zone change. And there's probably a lot of other zone changes.
We'd be redoing our whole town if we go to R1, 2, 3, 4.
Some of them would just be a change in... I don't think that'll be that difficult with the existing...
No, I don't either. It won't, but it'll be...
But it'd be nice to do it on one setting versus public hearing after public hearing after public hearing.
Right.
And that might take to the first of the year to get it completely wrapped up. I don't know. I would hope that we could expedite it as quickly as possible, because there is a lot of planned development.
Right.
It's even like McKay's deal.
Sam?
On that Fifth North.
Quinn wants you, I think.
Oh, on that Fifth North, on 900 East, it'd be nice to see some high density there where people are just trying to road. I don't want it down against the subdivision.
No, it's on that.
As long as it's up against that big main road, 900 East, it'd be another great place to have some.
Well, then take that high density road right down to the highway right there out on Fifth North.
Trouble is again, we're up halfway, if we're only 50 feet, so it's hard to gain more than 50 feet with houses already built there.
Well, I think they can go to the north and get it built.
The power line's there, so we'd have to move our power line.
Well...
So it's another obstacle, but...
I think going forward, though, from that point, for that point east, I think we need to have the proper width, and then...
At least a 66.
Yeah, and then we can determine, you know, if there's an opportunity, we have to jog and put and widen that. If it becomes a need, I think we'd have that option available on that particular road.
Because that's going to become another main road.
You know, you might have to have a wide road, and then there might have to be a narrow funnel type thing.
Even if it comes down to the narrower road and there's no parking on that road for that stretch.
Right.
Or two blocks or something.
That could be overcome. There's a lot of areas where you...
I said it's not necessarily the right of way that's restrictive, it's the pavement width. You might be able to get the same pavement width in the right of way you have there in that 50 feet.
You may be able to get the same pavement width, but maybe not any...
No parking on one of the side of the road.
Right, so those things really need to be looked at.
So define, just a comment, since I've been reviewing this, you know, define what 66 feet includes, okay? 24 foot of primary road, parking stalls, curb gutter. I just use that example.
The 66...
That's helpful for me in trying.
Yeah, we're trying to establish those.
I mean, then that goes back, that people strip, when you throw sidewalks, so you still have plenty of room.
There actually is sidewalk planned on that.
66 foot one, right?
Not the 50 foot.
Both of them, there is.
Yeah.
So the 66 foot, we had figured 24 feet of asphalt, but then you had 40 foot of right of way, but you had 6 foot, let's see. We cut that down. We had 6 foot and 5 foot. The planter we cut down to 6 foot and the walk was 5 foot.
Well, then you still
have 6 and 5, we had 11 feet. We had a 2 foot curve.
10 foot PUV.
Okay, so help me with this. 24 feet plus 2.
For your curb and gutter.
Yeah, plus 6. So we had, let's just add this up. We had
26 on one side. And
5 and 6 is 11, and 2 is 13 on each side. And then 24 feet of, see, we had 12 feet. They had two lanes.
They have the 8 foot lane.
We had an 8 foot lane outside the asphalt. We had 12 foot of road.
Yeah. So really, how much asphalt have you got there? 24 plus 16.
40 feet of asphalt.
40 feet of asphalt, and then 13 feet, which was the curb and the planter and the walk.
8 foot parking.
No, I didn't bring anything.
That's a 66.
Right.
But we wasn't going to asphalt that 8-foot of parking, it was going to be gravel.
Right, but it's going to be hard to tie the curb in if...
You'll have to pay with the curb.
I think you require that be asphalt all the way, so the west can have a...
Your edge would be breaking out.
Well, I think, okay, that, well, it's going to have that input.
But if I remember right, the reason we did that though is because a lot of people, they, you know, we left it that way because maybe some, you wouldn't be able to curb and gutter along some of the existing stuff either. And that was what we had existing, that way cars can still park on it, because there's a lot of people that don't have a very big parking lot, and they have visitors come over, they have to have somewhere to park.
Yeah, if you do gravel and curb, you'll have gravel and curb in these one.
You can go down and look what's going on Fifth West down there, there's the end of pavement, and then there's a little trickle of water on both sides that's going to erode that, and then you've got the waterway clear out here that's not even, the water's not even making it there.
They're doing the same on Second South, they just get a, it's where your maintenance is coming in, your maintenance...
So I think we need to rethink the asphalt thing, that's what...
Well, I can tell you what, Ephraim City's down there, they've done a lot of what we're talking about, but they chip seal 24 feet. Because they can't, afford to chip all of it.
Right.
So they sacrifice that section because they just can't afford to do it.
And tear it all up, and it's going to be expensive.
So I think that if we're going to have those wider streets and have curb and gutter, we need to figure out a plan of how we're going to maintain it once it's turned over to the city. If we're going to have a transportation fee where everybody pays so much with their bill.
But then that takes away from your rural, because then they're going to be paying a high expensive pay. I mean, we're trying to keep the small community, we're going to be paying a lot of money, we're going to have to keep that. So it's not, in my mind, it's not feasible.
Well, I think most communities have, what is it, a highway tax or something, a road tax or something?
We have some, but...
We've got that.
We have to put something else in place. I think they call it transportation utility fee is what some of them are doing with.
Ephraim City has a road, I forget what it is, a road, it's on your property tax, I can't remember what it's called.
But even they're not able to maintain.
Road district is what they call it, a road district tax.
If you put a curb gutter, then you've got a storm drain system.
You guys should talk about that.
So contained within the...
Now you have a storm drain master plan.
Yes, and then it creates even more headaches, because now you've got to have a certified storm drain guy, because that's the way the state's pushing it.
Then you have to have...
Any storm drain about moving, so...
I don't know, just...
Yes, we do.
Well, we do.
It goes out, the storm drains terminate.
These are what you call growing pains, Jason.
I know where it kicks out.
But there's one out there, I got to get out.
One on Fifth West actually kicking out in that storm water, go in there to help them.
They do, and that's...
So whether it's a pond, catch basin...
McKay's concept plan doesn't even show that in there.
Storm drain, or on site?
Yeah.
So we know our issues too, and we didn't want to start.
Just start curb and gutter.
Just keeps growing.
So, just real quick, I've heard a lot of opinions about water, what's the official council direction on us approving based on water?
The only thing we've really restricted is the high density development, like Johansson's subdivision. There was a big planned subdivision north of town, I don't remember the name. And Glenn, we asked Glenn to hold off a little bit till we got something in place. That's only, them's the only things that we've really been adamant about as far as the little single family dwellings and home. I don't know if we've been restricting any of those, have we?
No, I guess my thoughts on it is, I know we're fairly closer to being with what our water is right now, with the well being drilled and some of the other stuff being done. I mean, we're probably still, I mean, a little ways out, but...
A year out.
At least.
I don't know, my opinion is that there's a way that, you know, they said they could do it in sections and say maybe 5 homes. I mean, it kind of sucks, maybe on some people, but 5 homes or something, planned to, you know, for the first year or something, or something, like give us the time to get that water into place to support it.
Well,
is my opinion.
The other option is it's not the indoor use that's killing us, it's the people, it's the outdoor use.
It's always August, summer use.
It's August, and so...
Really?
You look at, maybe the approval's contingent upon, they do minimal landscape, or they don't put a yard in until we get the water situation resolved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
How long you figure it takes you before you'd be building a house, Glenn, right now?
The townhouses?
Yes.
9 months to a year. I mean, I've got to get roads, I've got infrastructures that Jason knows better than me on that. It's not an overnight thing. I mean, it'd take me all winter to design it and then get contractor to take it all summer. And then, of course, we should do some of that in conjunction. But fall, I think, earliest. And again, you know, I'm not looking at outdoor watering really either, because we want to limit that a lot. Some xeriscape and things like that. Yeah. So I want zero water, but I guess I've been coming to the planning zoning meetings for quite a few months, and you know, two or three approvals here and there, you know, and McCase is going to use more water on those trailers than I'm going to use in probably 15 or 20 townhouses. Maybe not that much.
No, why
the reality is they're watering all the grass with it there, and so they've got all that grass.
Well, and I know if you're out there, you know, kind of like Carter's out there, they're year-round, their taps are going to be running while it's cold. I guarantee they're going to be leaving their taps running.
They're already running stuff. Because built that night, actually, the other course.
Well, and the other hat. The other thing is the irrigation well. If we can get that worked out, that's going to free up some culinary water too.
Free up a lot.
So I think there's a lot of things in the works. They just need to all come together. I think the well. I think we can put the well online before the treatment plant's done, though.
Yeah. Depends on if we have to treat it, because that's what you said. We might have to chlorinate it, which would then have to come through the treatment.
Well, that's what the test came back. If it's a clean well, you don't have to treat it.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you get some bad tests, and then you have to get in that
routine. Yeah, it's a bad test, but in reality, that far down.
But even then, you could just put it through just to set up a chlorinator wouldn't be that expensive.
You can just kick it right in above the spring, right above the acid house right now and chlorinate it.
Yeah, and so even if we got 300 gallon a minute,
I think
without the treatment plant, that's going to cover 1,000 homes.
Well, you see, you're going to have to kick that above the treatment plant anyway. So even if you kick it above the acid house, you're still above the treatment plant or acid house, because it's going to have to come in above it one way or the other if you have to treat it. So, if that makes sense.
We may have to move the acid house.
864 homes at 500 gallon per day.
I hate to make a bad decision, but with what I know on the water, I would feel comfortable with allowing them to kind of at least start proceeding. I mean, the only other thing would be, in my concern, is, you know, like we're getting all the property rezoned.
Yeah. Right now we have Bland, McKay, and Brett Nicholson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Brett's is what brought up the PUD, right? Because wants to do a PUD.
Yep.
And what's the purpose of a PUD for him?
Because he's in a commercial.
He's a commercial.
He's on State Street?
He's on State Street.
And that's where it gets into our codes, I guess, is where it's like kind of...
He's on CH or what?
So what does a PUD do for him? I guess I'm lost on...
Because he's wanting to do like six smaller homes. So the house footprint's small, mm-hmm. and then the lot size would be
small. Basically a driveway along the side of the house.
That'd be from little subdivision on 200 North. Or 100.
But is he going to have a public street going through there?
No.
Be all private.
Be a driveway off of it.
See, that's where he can come. That's where he's going to.
How big is the driveway? How big is the turnaround?
There'll be a turnaround for
fire. How big is it?
70 feet.
Yeah.
So what's the justification for giving him higher density? What's the benefit to the city just by having affordable homes or something? Or what's the...
Yeah.
How big are homes?
These are tiny, tiny homes.
24 by 30.
That's the minimum.
They're not like tiny homes on wheels. These are stick built.
Yeah.
Isn't that the county minimum on there?
It is, 24 by 36 for a year round.
So they're a two-bedroom house.
Ask Claudia what the minimum is for the county. Is she still on?
Does you hear that question, Claudia?
What's the minimum size of a house in the county?
22 by 24.
32, 24?
They said 24 by 24?
24 by 24.
And I know that's what Ephraim City's got, those small houses.
It was 30-something by 24. My brother's doing eight of them over there off.
Is he doing the one on Duck Springs?
Well, these are 24 by 30.
This was pretty close.
His are 24 by 32, I think.
But I think again, we ought to do the, well.
24 by, I know what 24 by 24 is, because we built that cabin out there that size. And he had it on, he had that on. That was a small kitchen, a small living room, and a small bedroom, and a little.
But there's a demand for those right now.
There is.
Yes, there is.
But that situation over there, everything's private. They did run individual meters to, the city required that, and individual sewer hookups to each one, but that's all maintained within. It's basically a parking lot, but it acts as a road.
Basically is.
What are you talking about?
The one on Duck Springs that my brother's doing.
Oh.
Oh, you're around the highway there?
Yeah.
On the west side.
But he's doing four now, and eventually he'll have eight.
What size are them homes?
24 by 32.
Are they? And then you think that's what Mickelson's are too?
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like it. So it'll be similar to that. I don't know how Moroni handled that. It was probably in a different zone.
Well, PUD's not doing commercial, though. We'd have to rezone that too.
We'd have to add that into our commercial use. Or would that, but then again, you've got other commercial already out there on that water, so.
That would be the nice thing about doing commercial one, two, and three, is we could change that.
Okay.
There, and then also yours.
So I don't know where I found it, but the planning commission in our code has the ability to interpret zoning. So we can make a decision as a council on what we think it means.
Good luck.
In those commercial modified, it says multiple family dwellings. You could interpret that means many multiple.
That's why I thought we would already, I didn't need zoning, because I decided that 9 months ago that I didn't need to be rezoned, because that's the way.
But if we're gonna rezone stuff, it was cleaner.
But we have the ability to.
To interpret.
Yes.
Well, that's the hard part of some of this older stuff, is you read and I read, it may mean one thing to me and something different to you, is how you kind of read it.
How you interpret it.
General commercial modified, CG modified, is that what Glenn is? No, he's just CG, right?
He's a CG.
So that's general commercial.
No, he's commercial modified.
Oh, he is, CG modified, yeah. So theoretically, is there not a description of modified in our current code?
There is, it's the verbiage we've, it's the.
So it's got multiple housing?
Yeah.
It was part of multi-family.
Multi-family.
Okay.
Dwelling.
Yeah, it has multiple family.
So that could be interpreted that way then.
That's how I.
That's probably what we did. But it still would be good.
You know, and the only concern I have, if say, so say we said to Glenn, you know, if you're not gonna be sticking anything, drawing a lot of water within a year and a half, it sounds like it'd be the minimum, and probably would be the same on Johansson's subdivision would be the same way.
But this is an annexation.
Yes.
This is an annexation, but if it's gonna be a draw on our water system.
But it might take a while if we proceed forward with the annexation, that's gonna take time.
But the only concern I would have is if we have other developers coming.
We have three in the city right now, Glenn, McKay, and Brett.
Those are the three.
When McCabe's, didn't McCabe get approved already?
This is McCabe.
Oh, different McCabe.
He had other issues in water he's working through.
John McCabe?
No, McCabe Quinn.
McCabe Quinn, he's got 24 acres between the Pleasant View subdivision or the...
Oh, that's the one he was talking about.
Subdivision that goes around and ties back into 900 East.
He came in one night, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yep.
So there's 24 homes there.
No, there's...
It'd be more than that.
Three phases of 18 at least.
Yeah.
I think we better hold off on him.
But again, he's only described the first phase.
First phase of 18 homes. He's gonna be a year. We gotta establish some roadways before he goes. We already got roads.
In an ordinance.
But Glenn got the same issue.
His roads.
His roads.
Yep.
And we did. We spent a lot of time on this.
I guess this is my question.
Well, we got some time wasted. I think it was a good thing.
My question, I guess, is in this, is if we change our roads, say we, because we haven't changed them yet, if you give approval, is it according to current what is before we approve them, I guess?
I think it's depend on how you approve it.
They're gonna need to know road widths and everything.
Right, but I'm saying if you don't approve it, I haven't approved it, and we haven't approved these changes to the roads, it would be off of existing what's, whatever's existing.
50s.
But can't you approve it contingent upon the new...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm just saying.
The new standard.
That we would make it to the new standard.
So what you're saying, the first thing we need to do is adopt a road standard.
Or if you're gonna give approval, do it, say that it meet, you have to meet the new standard.
Well, yeah, so we gotta get the road standard adopted first. That's our first step.
So, yeah, I think you're right. The water, aside from the water, which is happening, the road width and the zoning, I think, are our two key priorities right now.
Right. Because I don't want a newer subdivision going in and an old code that's gonna, then it's gonna be a Pleasant View. Not that that's what you're doing.
No, I know. I appreciate that. In fact, that's what I want, because I'm not here to just...
No.
I want you to write and...
We're just...
I'm already planning, your numbers are right. Well, it'd be 66 and 50 is the number that I'm planning on using, but let's do it right when we do it.
Well, like I said, we...
I wanna do what I can to move forward, but I wanna make sure that we're...
What's your thoughts about building a pedestrian trail through there?
I've already, I left a message with Mont, but I was okay with that. I think we need to make plans. I guess I have a lot of land for it. I don't know if I might have to build it.
Well, it depends.
Are you offering?
I'll
Dedicate.
Bulldozer. I actually conceptualized a drawing going along east of the hospital over there and then straight west down to John McKay's. And that would tie in what you got to a road, to one, the John McKay's going up Spruce Road. So I'm willing to look at that. I would like to see how that would fit in with this road width too. So that's really one of the questions I was gonna ask, but I figured I'd wait on that one. But since you're bringing it up...
Could that trail work as one of the sidewalks on that particular deal?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think that's something we look at on that, on your particular deal there, where we're tying into the existing trail is, could we make the existing trail work as a sidewalk?
That would almost make better sense to try to go back lot or something like that.
I would want, and what's that trail, it'd be 10 feet wide or something?
What's a curve on that?
Well, the other one's 10, and depending on, I think a 10-foot trail would be ideal through there.
So I got asked a question since you brought that up, and is the horse trail gonna be paralleling the sidewalk? And I got asked, are you putting a horse trail in there too? So I know I'm not. I'm not planning on that.
I don't know anything about...
Horse trails are high density, usually don't.
I don't know anything about that.
I agree, but nonetheless,
I don't really think about a horse trail.
No, because the trails are planned all through the, from Fountain Green all the way to Contoy and on up, is what I was told, that somebody's, oh, they're gonna put trails next to the walking trail, and I was surprised to me. So anyway, I just won't throw out, figure out there and throw that out.
There's been some talk about if we ever do the one to Spring City, having an equestrian trail to the side of that, but that's all.
There's already an equestrian trail, I don't see that.
Well, yeah, and so it's just,
designation.
So I don't want to have to leave an extra trail for the horses.
No, I don't think we would ask that.
I guess that's one thing. But I would be happy to consider a master plan that could include that. So I think
There could be, in the future, there could be the chance of getting a fair amount of pedestrian bike traffic on that trail, depending on what happens. Is that going to be an issue in the roadway?
We have to plan how we do it when we put it. I would love to have a discussion.
So
get my plan out and look at it.
Yeah.
I would want to put probably on the south side of the road going west, or if we think about going from John McKay straight east, I'd want to put on the south side of that. That long term would be along some homes, but it could be a wide path. They would have to respect, you know, the traffic. We'd have long.
How sweet would that be for those townhomes you're looking to be able to have a trail that tie right into the park?
Well, and I'm happy with that. And then I've got, I've proposed on it, and probably Zoni knows this, but I proposed a couple little commercial stores, like, you know, a little.
Just like you were talking mixed use.
Or something. It could be part of one of the townhouses, and so somebody can live upstairs and have a store downstairs. And so I think that'd be, or even a bicycle. There could be all kinds of little things.
I agree.
So we've even thought about how is that going to affect the hardware store. So I think that's a great master plan. I'm willing to take a look at that. I just think we need to look at how it's going to affect and where the best place to put it is. And I'd like to find out if there's any communities that have done that, because I don't know exactly how to do it and not affect the residents of the town.
Well, that's what I mean. Does it make better sense to have it going through the subdivision on the road, or would it make better sense to have it more secluded so it's not...
It's not longer the residents.
Yeah.
We can put it behind the townhomes, up against...
The fence?
The fence, all the way along the all the way along the Carter's RV Park, or behind my townhomes, and then come down the south side of the road. The only place it would affect some homes is on the south side of a subdivision someday.
And just have a privacy fence or something.
That's my annex there.
Those are probably some discussions that we may be having in the future.
Yes.
All right. You basically got
that's
one road
that's part that of
we've approved, and one foot was over beef. I wrote 50, but I believe it's 52 feet. Another one would be 66 feet.
52 is the right of way?
Yeah, 52 is the right of way. 32 is the road width and the curb. And then you've got 10 feet of planter and 10 feet of walk. And then public utility adds another 10 foot in on the...
Either side.
On the
property.
Homeowners.
Side.
Yeah.
On a 50-foot?
Yeah, on a 50, yeah.
On any
so you'd actually be 72 feet as far as right-of-way.
We don't count that as right-of-way, though.
That's just an easement.
It's an easement.
It's an easement.
We don't even...
It's dual use, so it's the...
So it's really...
It's
maintained as their property.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's not the case for townhouses, though, Justin, right? Because some of these townhomes, that's right up against...
No.
Be private.
That would just be a part... That would be different.
Okay.
On a public street is where
we're talking.
So I guess our next step in reality would be to get those codes that we know look over.
All right.
So we... Not to cut anything short, but I know everybody else is probably getting tired like me.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's 2 hours.
I'm on the course.
What's
I've got email. I don't know about you guys.
They are
email for all that. Just email all that. We look at it.
Just email it all out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maybe meet again.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want to
meet again?
Sending out a survey to the people on 500 West to get their input.
I think we just say that's, let's just designate it and then do a public hearing on all of it.
Do all of it.
Do it all at once.
Okay, we're on the 19th. Next Tuesday is City Council. It's not RDA.
It's going to take more time to go over the codes than that, to even look at it, come up with plans.
I don't know if we really asked you much of a question either.
Well, if we kind of know what each one of them means and what would best fit what we already have, I don't know if it'll take a ton of time. It's the new parts.
You have the interpretation rule, right?
Power, we can talk